This is District Sentinel Radio, the newscast of record for the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We're broadcasting out of the Harper's a Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Hello, intern Nate.
How's it going?
It's going fine. How you doing, Sam Knight?
Doing all right. How are you?
Sam Knight is dog sitting right now. How's that going?
It's going all right.
Yeah.
She's a good girl. She's a lab, and they got a bunch of good food in the house, so can't complain.
I believe I'm the only one who attended the March for Our Lives this weekend, even though I'm usually the one who is made fun of for never leaving the house. I went out there. I marched for my life. I really went out because my mom dragged me out there with her. But I got out of the house. My legs are all sore from standing around all day.
From the shuffling.
It's mostly the shuffling. That's what it is. It's the shuffling between people for like hours. I can't deal with that shit very well. But I went out there. Someone from the Smithsonian Museum asked to have my mom's sign that she made. So I got to go drop that off later this week. But that was it. I saw you were sharing a bunch of Russia NRA signs, even though you weren't there, but you had someone taking pictures for you.
Well, yeah, my buddy was going down, and I asked him beforehand. I said, hey, I'm looking for a very specific thing. If you see any signs that say NRA and turn the letters into National Russia Association or something, take a photo and send it my way. And sure enough, he had two signs that he saw that used the NRA abbreviation.
Speaking of shitty protests, I don't want to move forward in the show without noting that Sunday was the 1 year anniversary of the Pizzagate march, which Sam Knight and I attended.
Oh, God.
I didn't go to that one. You guys made it to that one.
We made it to the Pizzagate march. We didn't go to the March for Our Lives, which is notable.
Irony, not, addled brains.
That march was notable not so much for the actual Pizzagaters, but because I saw a child wearing a Riley Cooper jersey at the protest. So, love that memory.
I wish you wouldn't have brought it up because it was truly depressing. Like we were talking about, oh yeah, we're gonna check out the Pizzagate weirdos and it'll be funny. But no, we just got down there and it was profoundly sad.
Yeah, I can imagine. Final words. The teens, even me, cynical Sam, was a bit inspired by the teens, but at the same time, someone needs to get in their ears and tell them that the cops and troops are also bad. All right, moving on. Got some bracket news to get to. First, the worst tweet tournament. Voting is underway today in the second round of both the Acela Corridor region and the Shitlib region, where we have, in the Acela Corridor region, looking like an all-Vox final shaping up, both Matt Iglesias and Ezra Klein beating up on their competition right now in their regions. And then we have, in the Shitlib region, Ian Millhiser and Keith Olbermann locked in a tight battle, and Claire Jeffrey and Joyanne Reed locked in a tight battle. Still anyone's match there.
Yeah, the Shitlib region is turning out to be really where all the suspense is. Yeah. But everyone, I can tell, is already looking forward to the Matt Iglesias, Ezra Klein, the intra-Vox war, the Vox civil war.
Yep, we're gonna have round two matches all this week, region by region. Also check out melmagazine.com. there's a pretty good write-up about the worst tweet tournament that was just published today.
Oh hey, it was just aggregated by the AV club as well.
Hell yeah. Noted.
Yeah, just awesome. Point of detail, the Vox civil war is brought to you by General Electric.
Whoa. I you could not make up or buy this kind of press either. The AV News headline is, a few brave souls are trying to determine the worst tweets of all time.
We are the brave souls.
We're troops. We're troops,
we
folks.
We are the troops.
You heard
Twitter
it now.
Troops.
We're troops.
In other bracket news, the District Sentinel's March Madness bracket is continuing. The race to name our studio for a month is pretty much down to three people, as there are four teams left in the NCAA March Madness tournament. We got Brandy Beans in the lead to win, but he needs Villanova to take it. If Michigan pulls it out of the Final Four, then Red Bluff Red wins the bracket. And then we got Mao is Bad, who can still take this thing if Kansas wins the bracket. So still up in the air on what our studio will be named next month, probably, or sometime into next month, depending on who wins this thing. Of course, the top three will also get District Sentinel t-shirts. Shout out to our subscribers on Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. $5 a month gets you exclusive content like our Sentinel cast. Last week we had Brace Belden, formerly Piss Pig Granddad on Twitter, former troop with the YPG. We talked to him about what's going on in Afrin. And we had Owen Higgins on to debate about Bernie 2020, potentially.
Also, the Gillibrand endorsement of Governor Cuomo, yeah, and how that was her first major misstep in a while.
Yeah, that's the sort of content you get by subscribing. You also get your own poem, which brings us to the haiku section of today's show. This one is for Evan. Eliminate it. Facebook. Vanquish it. But leave Bernie's dank meme stash.
Thank you, Evan. Might I humbly suggest also leaving Simpsons shit posting. This is for Philip. Controversial take. This Trump guy is a crumb bum. He's no good at all.
Thank you, Philip. Beginning to come around to that opinion myself. This one is for Dylan. Dad in Riverdale, teen in 90210. Dylan has some range.
He certainly does. Thank you, Dylan. This is for Thin Ice. Gun teens, listen up. Don't protest. Kiss me instead, said Rick Santorum.
Thank you, Thin Ice.
Might be on Thin Ice with Rick Santorum's legal team after that haiku.
This one is for Carmine. The Washington Post, get this, has a reporter named Tom Hamburger.
Thank you, Carmine. This one's for Brian. A manifesto. Train boys of the world, unite. I wrote the dang thing.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you to all our new subscribers on Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. Help support our little news co-op. It's Monday, March 26th, 2018. Here's the news. Russia gators awoke Monday morning to some counter-narrative news. The White House expelled 60 Russian diplomats living in the U.S. who are being characterized as spies. The individuals worked at the embassy in Washington, D.C. and at the U.N. in New York City. The administration also shut down a Russian consulate in Seattle, citing its proximity to U.S. assets, including a Boeing facility. The actions coincide with other retaliatory measures taken by EU nations and others to punish Moscow for its alleged role in the Skripal poisoning. 18 countries, including 15 European Union nations, the U.S., Canada, and Ukraine, all took actions kicking out Russian diplomats. The Russian embassy in the U.S. responded with a Twitter poll asking tweeters to vote for which U.S. embassy should be shut down in retaliation in Russia. I voted in the poll. Did you guys vote?
What were the other options?
One was St. Petersburg, and that was the one that was winning. The other one was, I think, Vladivostok. And I'm not sure. I don't remember what the third one was.
I've always wanted to go to Vladivostok. So
I would leave the Vladivostok one open because I want to go there too. It seems pretty cool. So probably St. Petersburg.
Yeah. Anyways, this is a pretty large escalation in the diplomatic feud between the West and Russia. Previous expulsions included Obama's removal of 35 Russian diplomats in 2016 in response to alleged election meddling. Reagan once expelled 80 Russians during the Cold War.
The federal criminal case against Omar Mateen's widow has revealed that the father of the Pulse nightclub shooter was a confidential FBI informant. An assistant U.S. attorney revealed this weekend that Siddique Mateen was working as an informant for the feds from January 2005 until June 2016, the month when Omar Mateen carried out his massacre.
Hmm.
The email said that Siddique Mateen is also under investigation for sending money to Turkey and Afghanistan in the months leading up to the Pulse attack. Again, he was still an FBI informant while doing this.
Hmm.
And perhaps the most juicy tidbit, the email also revealed in November 2012, an anonymous tipster said that Mateen the Elder was trying to raise up to $100,000 to fund an attack against the Pakistani government. Again, while he was an FBI informant. Mateen's
very curious.
Mateen's widow, Noor Salman, is currently on trial for allegedly obstructing justice and playing a role in the Pulse attack, and she's also accused of giving material support to his designated foreign terrorist organization. Because Salman's lawyers only learned this weekend about Siddique Mateen's alleged ties to the FBI, confirmed ties to the FBI, they're asking for a mistrial or a dismissal of charges, what's known in criminal proceedings as a Brady violation. As the Orlando Sentinel said, good name, by the way, if her defense team knew about all this, they would have, quote, investigated whether a tie existed between Siddique Mateen and his son, specifically whether Mateen's father was involved in or had foreknowledge of the Pulse attack. Earlier today, District Judge Paul Byron said he would rule on the motion this evening. But whether or not Salman's case should be dismissed, and probably should, here's yet another high-profile attack used by the far right to promote Islamophobia and white nationalism, and more questions than answers about what the FBI knew and when it knew it. Fuck your Andrew McCabe crowdfunder, Mayor Jason.
John Bolton started his first day at the White House as Trump's national security advisor. It's been about 9 hours into his day so far. A new war hasn't been started.
Although we should note there is going to be a lag between when this is recorded and when we upload it to the internet.
That is true. And we should also know that the Iran nuclear deal, which is keeping war off the table at the moment, is in trouble. It's being reported that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is already telling allies that the U.S. is preparing to withdraw from the deal in May. And at today's White House briefing, Deputy Press Secretary Ross Shah didn't exactly deny those claims.
The Israeli press is reporting that Prime Minister Netanyahu has begun informing French and German foreign ministers that the U.S. is very likely to pull out of the Iran deal in May. Can you confirm that?
Well, I can't confirm that. What I can tell you is that the president's been pretty clear since January, where he gave some remarks about this, what he thinks of the Iran deal. In fact, that goes back years. He thinks it's one of the worst agreements the United States has ever made internationally. He is insistent on changes both at the congressional level, working with Congress, and also with our European partners. If changes aren't made, the president is prepared to potentially withdraw from the agreement.
And referencing the last time the agreement was certified in January, Trump said, this is the last chance in terms of getting changes. There won't be any changes to the deal, obvious, because the deal is in place and there were several countries that negotiated it. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure the Iran deal survives another month or so. It will be interesting to see how long John Bolton survives as national security advisor. I see this ending in one of two ways. One, he starts a war, in which case we're all screwed. Two, he gets fired, in which case he gets accepted into the hashtag resistance.
The only Bolton prediction that I'm willing to make at this point is I do think he will last longer than Anthony Scaramucci. The government of Saudi Arabia is claiming that yesterday it shot down all 7 missiles fired deep into its territory by Houthi rebels in Yemen, but that claim has been called into question by everyone with internet access. Videos from the capital Riyadh show at least two malfunctions by U.S.-made Saudi missile defense systems. Reading now from the Associated Press, quote, "One Patriot missile appears to explode seconds after being launched, drawing a shout from a bystander as flaming fragments rain down on the ground. In another video circulated online, a just-launched Patriot missile suddenly changes course, smashing into the ground near a residential neighborhood." The Saudis would not acknowledge any snafus when asked by the AP. Missile expert Jeffrey Lewis told the wire service, quote, "It's more likely that none of the missiles have been intercepted than it is that the Saudis have shot down any." Sunday's attack saw one fatality and two injuries in Riyadh, the first in the Saudi capital since the war began in 2015.
CBS's 60 Minutes had its biggest ratings haul in a decade on Sunday with its Stormy Daniels interview. For those who've been paying attention to the story, nothing all that new was revealed in the sit-down with Anderson Cooper. The Shark Week stuff was all in there. The spanking with a Forbes magazine was discussed. There was one thing, though. Daniels alleged that several years ago, but after the affair, she was approached in a parking lot by a man who threatened her life if she ever spoke about it. Daniels stated that the fear for her and her family's safety is what prompted her to sign the non-disclosure agreement with Trump lawyer Michael Cohen. Trump is denying the affair. Michael Cohen denies any threats were made to Daniels. Still, the whole episode does leave both Trump and his lawyer with a lot of exposure to campaign finance law violations, considering the hush money paid to Daniels was likely a political expenditure, and it was both not reported and exceeded contribution limits. Of course, pretty much no one gets punished for election law violations anymore. The Federal Elections Commission, which would investigate these issues, is deadlocked between Republican and Democratic appointees 2-2, and thus can't agree to move any policies forward.
Finally, the Federal Trade Commission said that it's probing Facebook over Cambridge Analytica's abuse of private user data. The regulatory agency issued a press release this morning, quote, confirming that it has an open, non-public investigation into these practices. After the news, Facebook's stock was down by as much as about 10 points today. At 3:20 this afternoon, it was down about 4 points, or about 2.5% of its value. In other news, Chuck Grassley, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is calling on Mark Zuckerberg to testify next month. Today, Grassley scheduled a hearing on April 10th, seeking testimony from the Facebook CEO, alongside Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Google CEO Sundar Pichai. I hope they ask Jack Dorsey why he sucks so much and is bad. And also Zuckerberg, if he testifies. And also Pichai. Let's face it, all these three tech companies are bad and monopolistic. A representative for Zuckerberg told the Washington Post that Facebook is reviewing Grassley's request. Twitter declined the Post's request for comment, and Google did not respond. I'm just imagining a Google rep like a Washington Post reporter typing out the message in Gmail, and like the Google rep seeing the message come in real time, like as it's being typed out.
All this has me imagining Tom from MySpace, like as like the "I mastered the blade" kid. Like, you all hated MySpace, you shat on it, and now you come to me in this hour of need.
Well, has anyone subpoenaed the Friendster CEO?
That's the newscast today. Before we go, time to check out the listener rant line.
Hey, Sam. Hi, Sam. Intern Nate. Hello. Hey, how you doing? This is me, the Mad Oracle, Marvin Splendid Goodtime. Some of you may know me from the Dang Old Working Week podcast that I do with our buddy Jorts. Now that I've gotten this tedious part out of the way. So, John Bolton, that's fucking terrifying, huh? Given the combination of this and some comments that were made in a recent interview that Trump did, I'm starting to worry that what's happening here is that Trump is just going to keep replacing people and stacking the cabinet with neocons and war hawks and all of the, you know, typical approved demons that we've come to know over the past 10 or 20 years. And then he's going to resign out of boredom. He's going to have some kind of vague statement about his dissatisfaction with the position or whatever. And he's going to, you know, finally step down.
And the libs in Congress, all the shit libs and the alleged Democrats in Congress, the hashtag resistance, are going to be so fucking excited that the second they have an opportunity, they will absolutely roll over and give President Pence everything that he wants. Because we live in hell. It's horrible. And I don't know what to do. All right, Sam. Much love. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend if they're listening to it before the weekend. If you're listening to it after the weekend, I do not know what to tell you. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for the call, Marvin, and just running through some of your anxieties on the message. In this time of John Bolton, we all are anxious. I don't see Trump. I could see Trump maybe not running for a second term, although everything he said is that he plans on running for a second term. I don't know. I don't see him stepping down out of boredom. He's too prideful.
Hey, guys. Hi, Sam. Hi, Sam. Sam and Sam, don't listen to this. Nathan, hello. Enter Nate. Hey, what up? Hey, I also like that jizz-looking Gatorade. I'm just curious if you are a fan because of white cherry icies. I had a lot of white cherry or cherry snow icies as a kid. So, what do you think of that?
It's actually something that's come about in adulthood. As a kid, I used to, if I got icies, I would get the blue raspberry flavor. So this is in adulthood.
I do remember the white cherry icies. I was a big fan of those.
It actually may have been the white Power Ranger that got me into it.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam. Nate. Anyway, you're talking about seltzer water, and you're talking about LaCroix and that shit. The fucking Bergy shit, mate. You need to go to, like, Kroger and just get a fucking, like, regular store brand and just throw a fucking lemon in that. That's how real leftists do it. All right. See ya. Bye.
I'm lazy.
Yeah, the caller might have a point.
I'm also lazy, so I want the flavor put in there for me.
All right, one last call today.
What's up, fellas? It's Keister. Calling to see if you guys can send me an email or some other form of communication letting me know if you have plans, whether tentative or confirmed plans of live shows coming up for spring, summer. I plan on taking a trip, you know, to the Northeast, Philly, New York City, and if you're having a live show, I can plan around that and stop by and check out one of your live shows while I'm up there. Either way, you guys are great. I'll hopefully see you soon. All right, bye.
Hey, Keister, good to hear from you. I guess now's as good of a time as any to make an announcement about our next live show. It's going to be on 420, folks, April 20th. We announced it for the first time last week for our Patreon subscribers. Tickets are on sale right now at squareup.com/store/District Sentinel. You can get your tickets for the 420 live show. It's in Petworth, Northwest Washington, D.C. We'll tell you an exact location when you purchase your tickets as we get closer to the date.
Try not to get droned.
But it's going to be unlike any live show we've done before. It's going to be quite the party. Tickets are $42, which sounds a bit expensive, but I can assure you that it includes a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff for the 420 show. So be sure.
The 420 show, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of stuff.
We got a gift, you know, for the 420 show.
Seats are very limited, so make sure to get your tickets now if you want to spend 420 with the Sams in Washington, D.C. for our live show. Keister, we also are trying to have live shows every month from that point on in D.C. We've talked about going back to Philly for another show sometime this year and possibly New York City as well. We don't have any plans to announce yet on that regard. But if you want to come into D.C., we got a show next month and in the following months as well. Thanks for the call. Everyone else, call the rant line 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Tell your friends to listen. The newscast is back tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.